Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. The Auburn Tigers are back on the Mississippi State schedule after a two-season absence. That means Adam Cole is back on the back on Thunder and Lightning after an absence of his own. And Adam, I don't know that I've, you know, I use that website, Our Lads. I'm sure a lot of us in our business use it. They have these depth charts. I've never seen a depth chart like this that is just transfer, almost all the way down on the offensive side of the ball. The thought process of we're going to take what wasn't the best team in the American and we're going to transfer them all to the SEC. What do you think about that? What is the year one going to look like for Auburn?
I really the buzzwords that came around all spring were continuity and familiarity. It already feels like I'm beating a dead horse using those words. We've talked about them so much, but I think that's really going to be kind of the theme of this team. I mean, that is the element that should take this team as far as it can go in theory. Is the fact that you have retained a defensive coordinator and a lot of personnel, and you're sticking with a defensive philosophy while bringing in this whole new concept on the other side of the ball. But, you know, of the, I think, 13 South Florida transfers they brought in, 11 of them were on offense. You've got the same play callers. Like, I like the concept I've seen so far. Yeah, obviously rubber's got to hit the road at some point, and it will in Atlanta against Baylor. But it's interesting. It's very modern in that sense, right? You weren't able to do this sort of thing a decade ago, but we'll see how far it takes them. But you like what you see, and it's hard to complain when the quarterback that you're able to bring in is a guy like Byron Brown too. So
let's talk about Brown. Some of the highlight videos that made the rounds were not exactly flattering to him, but this is a guy I've watched him play college football. I know he can move the football. I know he's a good athlete. He's got a good arm on him. What kind of step forward can he take here in his first year in the SEC? Can he be even better than he was? That's a tough ask, but can he be better than he was at South Florida?
I think he can be better than he was at South Florida. And I think really the biggest reason that anybody can or should hold that belief after the spring is like what we came away with from him. I mean, obviously, like the things that, I guess stick out on social media is the stuff about his throwing motion. He admittedly did not have a banner showing in the spring game, but also like, I don't know, my counter argument to that is, for one, it's the spring game. You know, those things don't always work out in the preseason, but at the same time too, like, the biggest thing that did get talked about with him and his play throughout the spring was that you're not able to see him peak, because to see him at full velocity, like, the pads have got to be on and it's got to be full go, and he's got to be barreling dudes over and running through and around guys. You know, it's another one where Auburn's not going to see it until the season shows up. But I think he can be better, because the biggest thing that we kept coming back to was that he is more settled in this offense than he ever has been. And again, that familiarity and continuity in theory should go a long way. But I think, you know, if Auburn is able to hit its stride and really come out punching opponents in the mouth, like, I think he could. I think he could take another leap this year in Auburn.
For those of us who, and I'm not one of them, I guess, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but like those people who didn't watch a lot of South Florida last year, what is the Alex Golish offense?
And I will admit, I am one of those people who did not watch it last year.
They weren't first on my viewing list or anything, but I caught some action. Yeah,
they're interesting to read up on, though. I think the biggest thing with them that just weaves throughout all of it is tempo. And one thing that I've thought about it a little bit, but I put it in that same tally of I'm not going to be able to see this until they start playing. Mm-hmm. Some people have been concerned with, like, is a fast tempoed offense going to have an impact on this defense, you know, especially if they're not scoring. And I do wonder about that. I mean, quite frankly, saw that a lot with Hugh Freeze the last 3 years. But tempo's the biggest thing here. I think it weaves it all together. And what's been really interesting, I haven't been able to go back and read up on the preseason last year for South Florida, but what's been preached a lot with this particular offense and this group of personnel is the run game. You bring back Jeremiah Cobb, you go get one of your South Florida transfers is their leading running back from last year, not including their leading rusher, Byron Brown. Bryson Washington, leading running back at Baylor. Tay Meadows, leading running back at Troy. And now you've got four guys who were, you know, the starters at their respective spots last year in that room. And so I'm curious to see how the depth chart shakes out for it all, but I really think Auburn's going to lean super, super, super heavy on the run this year.
On the other side of the ball, a lot of experience coming back. Obviously, DJ Durkin returning to Auburn was a big deal. They wanted to keep him on staff, and you mentioned continuity earlier. That was a good way of helping that out as well. A couple of good transfers there. I know Cody Sigler and Deshaun Womack were highly sought after in the SEC. This feels like an Auburn defense that can be really, really good.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. Like, I need to go back and digest it as it is after last fall. But looking at DJ Durkin's like history, at least statistically, of his defenses in his time as an SEC coordinator, like had some really good moments at Florida. But his time at Ole Miss, A&M, like they were capable defenses. They weren't necessarily the best in the league. And his Auburn defenses, on the whole, for a lot of last season, I mean, Auburn was one of the better scoring and run defenses in the country. Kind of dipped when he had to take on the interim duties. But I really think this is maybe his best chance yet for a defense to really take that leap and go into that next echelon. And you mentioned Cody Sigler. He was probably the most interesting transfer name in the spring beyond the South Florida guys. Because you're talking about a guy who spent 2 years at Division II West Alabama and managed to translate that to the Sun Belt. I would say was maybe even more productive at the Sun Belt level than D2. And now you're looking for another leap, but was very highly thought of, seems to have taken on sort of a leadership role in that defensive line room. But you lose some pieces like a Keldrick Falk, but if you're Cody Sigler's and Deshaun Womack can translate, that would be vital.
Normally I ask this question, you know, give me a newcomer to keep an eye on for whatever team I'm talking about. But with this Auburn team, I feel like I need to change that question over. And I want to ask you, who's a veteran? Who's somebody that Auburn brought back that you think could be a huge key for them this year?
Well, I'll do one on both sides of the ball. And
great.
I'll start with offense because defense is – there's a lot of candidates to me for that on defense. When I look at offense, I think the one name that might surprise us by the end of the year is Omar Mabson at running back. You know, and you're already talking about a littered room, but this was a guy who reclassified – moved up a year and joined the team last year. He should be a true freshman this season. And you come out of spring ball, and the biggest knock on him for not getting more reps in SEC play last year was Hugh Freeze said that they needed guys who were fleshed out in pass protection. And after this spring, as we're getting assessments of all these positions, the guy who was best in pass protection in Auburn's running back room was Mabson. You know, I know that's not the be all end all, but I think that's a pretty healthy example of, okay, like if this guy's developing at the rate he can, Auburn's had a lot of success with like low to the ground, low center of gravity running backs, Jarquez Hunter, Tank Bigsby. I think Omar Mabson's next up. And if it's not this year, I think it'll be the year after, but if it is this year, I'm not going to be surprised. On the defensive side, there are so dang many. I really think that Rashawn Pleasant is that's a guy who maybe is going to pop and link it up to another level this year. He transferred in from Tulane last year, was an All-American return man. He had a really big game against Arkansas. I think he had like two interceptions. Him and then two on the defensive line at edge, Jared Smith, former really touted recruit, rising sophomore, you know, I think he could kind of be their next big edge rusher. And then on the defensive line, I think Dallas Walker is one to watch too. Him and Chris Murray were a couple guys they retained by waiver. Not a lot of production, but a lot of experience, and I wonder if that gives them sort of an edge to get ahead. So there's a few, but those are kind of the names that jump out to me.
When we look about this game, Mississippi State and Auburn, that's been a very competitive series over the last, couple of decades. Mullen had some success against them. Morehead beat them once. Leach beat them a couple of times. They've been off the schedule now. If there's one thing I know, beating Alabama and Georgia is obviously very key to being successful as the head coach at Auburn. But if you can't beat Mississippi State on the regular, it doesn't lead yourself to think you could do those things either. How important is this game going to be for the Auburn Tigers when we get into the first few weeks there of November?
I think on principle alone, like that's been the most fascinating part of covering SEC football year in, year out, is realizing like November, like sometimes it just marches to a different beat than the rest of the year. It's obviously more high stakes, more imperative, if you're trying to get bowl eligibility, fighting for a playoff spot, whatever that might be. So it's going to be really important. And like that's only going to get ratcheted up depending on how the year goes, because things aren't going well. Like you said, like you got to beat Mississippi State. Like if you're at Auburn, that's usually one of those things that is considered non-negotiable in that way. But if things are going well, if you are trying to get over that hump and over that baseline for the whole year for this team, which is 6 wins in a bowl game. You've been losing. Just take the first step right now. But could be that important. It maybe you fool around and do really well and you're fighting for a playoff spot. But yeah, it'll be absolutely massive, especially considering like I think one less bye week this year is gonna, I'm intrigued to see the impact of that. And usually around this time of year, you get a pause and now you don't. So it'll be really important. I'm trying to remember. I think the last time they went to Starkville was that an overtime or two overtime game?
It was at least one. I remember the game. Yeah.
And it was Cadillac Williams'
Yeah.
first, I
First game
think
as the
first
intro.
game.
Yeah.
And they had to effectively build that offense in a cave over the course of like 36 hours.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, there are photos of Will Friend like just scribbling on a whiteboard on the sideline at that game. But no, definitely, if it can follow up that, it'll be a fun game, that's for sure.
A must-win game for both teams if they want to be postseason teams. I would absolutely say that. Adam Cole, Montgomery Advertiser, man, really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.